One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams July Summer Sale and get 30% off paints and stains July 18th through the 28th. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
This episode is brought to you by MyBookie. More on that later. Let's get into the do.
You're listening to The Honeydew with Ryan Sickler.
Welcome back to The Honeydew, y'all. We're over here doing it up at Studio Jeans. At your mom's house. I'm Ryan Sickler. It's a beautiful Monday, Tuesday if you're watching. I'm Ryan Sickler on all social media, ryansickler.com. Go there, check out my tour dates. I'll be back out in October with T-Nuts. He's taking me back out on a run, so I'm excited to see some of you guys out there. Website, ryansickler.com. That's where you can find everything. And as always, I want to just thank you guys very much for supporting the show. I'm getting all the emails and the messages. I love that it's making a difference. And I do laugh at your dark shit. All right. It's fucking funny when you can find that moment. So, thehoneydewpodcast.com is the website. That's where you can go to find out all the events, the merch, all this, that. What else I want to tell you about? I always say if you're new to the do, what we do over here is highlight the lowlights. And these are the stories behind the storytellers. Today's storyteller. The cockroach is back, everybody. Josh Potter, everybody. Josh Potter's back on The Honeydew.
What up?
Look, first of all, let me just say I appreciate you being here because you are...
Because I work here. I'm here all the time, baby.
You are. We had a last-minute cancellation, and you slid right in there and in the chair. So welcome
I'm the guy.
Back.
Hey, what's up? Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Promote whatever you'd like there.
Well, I'm actually going to be in my hometown, Buffalo, New York, on November 6th at Helium Comedy Club. One night only, so come to that, get some tickets and all that jazz. And then I'm going to be doing Baltimore at the Famous.
I'm doing it on
November 23rd.
That's a great spot. You're going to love it.
That's on sale at the point of this release as well. So you can
go to
that.
When?
November 23rd.
November 23rd, all right.
Yeah, and I'm going to be with Tom on a bunch of dates in October, November too, so cool.
That's
I'm excited.
Great.
Yeah.
So when I asked you, you said you could definitely sit down and talk to me a little more. And, we talked about growing up with you before and your vision,
right.
Things like that. And I don't know. I always hear that you can't come. I read about that a lot on social media.
Yeah. That's my brand at the moment.
You want to talk about some just stories with ladies, but I do have to ask you this because it doesn't make sense to me.
Of course it doesn't.
You have definitely had an orgasm before.
I can have an orgasm when I masturbate. I can finish with a woman when I finish myself, but I can't finish inside of them without the aid of myself. Whether it be a mouth, a vagina, or an anus. I've tried all three.
You can't finish in an orifice.
Right. My theory was always, well, I haven't met the right one.
Well, nobody loves you like you, you know
yeah.
what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And nobody loves you like you, bro.
I'm a selfish man. And I think this is just a reflection of that, which leads into some of the stories down the road. But
maybe you're super scared of getting someone pregnant. Maybe that's part of it.
I think that started it. Like, this is something I've never shared in the sort of folklore of this whole thing.
How about my that? Very what we're pulling out of you.
Yes, here. An honeydew exclusive. My first girlfriend, who I was very much in love with, like high school sweetheart type shit, was with her for 4 years. She was like, you know, ready to fool around and shit, but she was like religious, so she never wanted to have sex.
She wanted to wait till her mid-20s, late-20s.
She wanted to be like, she wanted to wait till marriage. But then she started discovering more things. Like, we were, if they had this in the yearbook, they would have made us 69 king and queen. Because we were like 69 and up and down the sidewalk.
Up
like,
at the sidewalk. Walking, holding her like this.
Just... That was our most natural position. Was the 69. I mean, we did that.
But she was holding you, though. She's holding
we tried all the different. I was the 9. I was the 6. It didn't matter, you know. Sometimes we 96'd, you know. But
that's as far as she would go.
Yeah, that was it. Oral stuff.
And that's how old are you?
We were like, you know, 16, 17 years old.
That's, if you're not going to have sex, that's pretty solid.
It was the best. Yeah, I wasn't complaining. Okay. I was like, oh, we don't have to have sex. That's fine. I'm 69 until... I'm 69, you know what I'm saying? So I'll do this till I'm 69. I don't give a shit. You know? Whatever.
You get a wheelchair, make it a lot easier.
Hell yeah.
At 69.
It's like more like, that's like a 54 or something like that. But so I was happy with it. And we dated for 4 years from like when I was like junior in high school till I was a sophomore in college, essentially.
Did you lose your virginity to her?
Never. See, we never had sex that whole time. And then when we broke up, she had sex with the next dude. Like, so I was destroyed. And I didn't know how to like meet a girl yet at that point. So I waited that
and
whole
then took
time.
Took all your 69 tricks and used them on him.
See, then I should have used, I should have used my 69 tricks to lose my virginity at that point. But it took like another 2 more years or whatever. So from 16 to 20, I was with this girl. 69 and up and down, and then 22 it took me till I lost my virginity. That's why it took so long, because this one girl. But you had asked me about why maybe I'm scared of getting someone pregnant or something. When we would 69, she...
Which was often.
Which was all the damn time. Yeah. Mm-mm-mm. But when we would, she would be like, don't come in my mouth. She was like petrified of that.
All right.
So I think that has something to do with me always having to like wait till afterwards to come.
So you can't come out of respect, though. You're respecting her.
I was at that moment. So I think because of me like doing that, I killed something in me. And now I'll just never have it happen. It's only happened twice ever. And they were both one night stands. So everyone's like, maybe you have to love them. I don't know. That's not what does it.
It's the opposite.
Yeah, actually. No, it has the opposite effect. Yeah.
Okay.
So I think that has something to do with it. And I know it's very foreign for some guys who just, I'd imagine, live charmed lives just coming whenever they want. To like, the idea of it is so foreign and, you know.
Listen, it gets the best of all of us sometimes.
I bet. Yeah, I know.
But not every time.
You know what sucks is like, I feel like I wasted my, what would be my physical sexual prime in my 20s. You know what I mean? That's when you're most like virile and shit. And I feel like now my dick's going to be on the decline, you know? Starting to be like Vinny Testaverde where I'm going to have to drag him off the field.
Let me tell you something about Vinny Testaverde, bro. He came to the franchise, new Baltimore Ravens. Let me tell you something. He threw that fucking ball everywhere. You might have some late. He had 2,000-yard receivers. Michael Jackson and, I can't remember the other guy's name, but Vinny Testaverde. Back then, our defense sucked that he threw that fucking ball everywhere. Everywhere.
Yeah, but then he went on to the fucking Dolphins and the Jets and the Jaguar. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that was, he went everywhere.
His dick was still
playing. His dick went everywhere. Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to get mine on that TB12 shit because look at that guy. I mean, holy hell. Right? I mean, he looks like he's getting younger.
So your very first girlfriend is the 69.
Yeah.
And then this college girl, how do you meet her and how long do you...
Well, then I became 22. I was out of college. I dropped out of college. I was on the radio.
I've never heard anybody say they became an age. I became 22.
I did, yeah.
Usually it's a profession an addict.
It was my best year. It was my best year. I was living my whole life.
Shit.
All of my truth was realized in that age, between sex and professions and everything else. But I met this girl just by working on the radio. She recognized me in a bar, and that was the first time that I had like been able to tap into that at that point, you know? So that was how I got laid from forever, ever again. You know what I mean? The first girl
from being on the radio?
Yeah.
That's how you would meet the girl.
That's how I meet any girl. I mean, I know, I mean,
that's great. Look, you're at a job, fortunately, back then where you could, because before all the internet dating and all that shit, you met people in your vicinity. You know what I mean? Like at work, or a bar, or a restaurant, yep, or whatever, a friend of a friend, or a community thing, whatever, church, whatever it is. That's how you used to meet people.
I feel like that's the only way I'm going to be able to, because like I know what I look like. So it's like I can't just be on these apps swiping people. Who's gonna swipe on this shit? You know what I'm saying? So, you know, you're on the app and you're like, "Ooh, this guy looks handsome." Okay, right. Then you get to meet, you're like, "Oh Jesus, well, I'm not even gonna find out what's up with that." You know what I'm saying? I've done it too. I've done it where I look at someone and I go, "No fucking way." You know what I'm saying? Like, and that's because I understand where they're coming from. So I have to meet, I don't even fuck with them. I have to meet people in person. And then not only that, I have to be in a context where this girl like knew who I was, whatever, thought I was like funny or whatever. And so she wanted to like hang out with me and date me or whatever. And then that's how I lure them into the trap. And then I sleep with them. And then I go, "See what you did?"
And then you bail.
Yeah. For the most part. Or I fall in love with them, I think, and then I date them and I achieve dating them, and then I go, "Well, this wasn't what I thought it was gonna be. I don't want to do this." And then I do out. Yeah.
What would you say is the worst you ever were in a relationship, or even if it was, you know, what's your worst behavior?
And then I'm gonna ask you
the opposite question.
Well, I'll tell you my worst behavior. My last girlfriend that I had, which was at this point like 6 years ago now or something like that, I think. It was, yeah, like 2014 or something like that is when it wrapped up. And I have an issue with my cell phone, which is I was getting like DMs and things like that from just randoms here and there. And I was like, the thing that I did that was the worst thing ever was, and it hurt somebody the worst. It wasn't, in my opinion, it wasn't the worst thing that someone can do. And I almost was like laughing it off at first, but it hurt this girl so much that I was like, it made me like realize what I was doing. And what it was I woke up for the radio one morning and I went to like take a shit and I opened my like DMs on Twitter or whatever. And I had like a tit pic sent to me, and I was just looking at it while I was taking a shit, and I was like, "Look at that." No. Because here's the thing, it was more like, I think about it like a magazine. They weren't great, you know what I'm saying? They were just some random girls. They were not great. That's the thing.
I'm gonna look at every titty that's
exactly I was just looking at them.
I'm gonna look at every pretty titty, bad titty. If it's a titty coming my way, I'm looking.
Exactly.
I'm definitely looking. Tattooed titty, I'm looking.
100%. I was looking at it like looking at anything else.
If right now a lady walked in the front and was like, "Does anybody want to come out and see my titties?" I'd be like, "Nadav, hit pause on this real quick. Let's go look at this lady's titties."
Yeah.
I don't care. We'd all go to the hot-ass parking lot and look at some 57-year-old titties.
While we were smoking, there was a
57. That happened to me one night.
What about the woman that was, while we were smoking, talking to us?
If she sent you the homeless lady, if she's like, "You guys want to see a titty?" I'd be like, "I'll see a titty."
Fuck yeah.
We were at a karaoke bar in the valley one night. This is years ago, and we used to do this thing. We started doing it when we lived in Baltimore, but it was I introduced it to these guys out here where we'd go to a karaoke bar that wasn't our neighborhood.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
A bar at all. And then I would get up and I would pick your song. You wouldn't know what it was till you walked up there and you had to commit. And then, of course, you're going to do that to me too, you know. And we get up and we're doing that at this bar. And there's this lady and she's like, I'm 50. And we were like, you look really good. You know, she's an older lady, bartender or whatever. And then she's out in the parking lot smoking, and we're out there having a joint. And she's like, you want to see my titties? And I was like, yeah. I was like, how old are you? She's like, 50. I was like, yeah, let me see those titties. And she just was like, boom. We were like, damn, those are real. She's like, yeah. We're like, those look great. And I have left that night thinking like, man, fuck yeah, you can have some really nice titties in your 50s. And that lady did.
Yeah. What a nice gesture to share titties. Them with you.
I'm going to look.
Yeah. There's you know what I used to pull?
Even if I was with my wife, I'd be like, come on, we're going to go see some titties.
You know, something fucked up I used to pull in college, kind of, is I would tell girls that, like, I was going blind. And I'd be like, and I would say, like, God, I mean, just like, how lucky are guys that get to see your tits? You know, I'm just.
Yeah.
I'd be like, I wish I could be like that guy.
I don't
guy.
Even need to see tits, just one of them.
I would say, man, like, I hope I get to see tits like yours before I go blind someday. And they
How
would be
often
like,
did that shit work?
All the fucking all time. The fucking they would just be like, you can just see mine. And I'd be like, ka-king. Lock that one in the vault. You just play it up, like, man. I just hope someday I get to see tits as nice as yours, you know? And they're like, oh, what? You can see mine? It's college, you know? They don't
and
care.
Girls are so sweet. They don't even care. They're like 7-Eleven. I'm like, just look at these. Right
yeah,
here,
yeah. You know? That's the thing. It's like, and then they feel good. They him. Feel good about themselves. Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah.
So they
yeah.
get the car.
So then they go on.
Flash that guy your tits.
They get on Twitter. They're like, I just did such a good deed.
I showed Josh Potter my titties before he went blind.
And by the way, if anyone wants to do that,
send Josh your titty pics.
But so what was happening was I was on the toilet looking at this picture, and then I just was like, well, I've spent too much time here. And I like hustled up and wiped and like went about my morning, and I left my phone on the sink in the bathroom. And so I don't know the circumstance of this, but my girlfriend said that she couldn't find her phone, and so she saw mine and just used it to call hers. And when she opened it,
the titties
were oh.
bad titties too.
Bad titties.
Bad titties.
Way worse than hers.
Yeah, better titties.
Way worse than hers. Yeah. And this, and like,
this is so upset. Like, these aren't even nice titties. I mean, both of them are bad.
What's he doing? So,
poor girl.
Yeah, no, and she was young. You know what I mean? So, like, if it was an older girl, she would have been like, what the fuck?
Yeah, your problem?
Yeah.
You're right about that.
She would
that,
not have cared. Nah. She would have been like, oh, you fucking pig.
Some 35-year-old would have been, what the fuck's this shit right here? Yeah. Look at these. These are way nicer than these, you
and
fucking
And she wouldn't
asshole.
Even get mad. She'd be like, what are you looking at? You're looking at some weird fucking shit on the internet or something. But so this girl was very hurt and upset. She was very, it was my problem. I dated a girl that was very much younger than me at this girl was. And I was like 27 and she was like 19. So that's why she was very upset.
Right out of high school.
But yeah, so like, yeah, I didn't know
she
that.
She hadn't
by
even
the way.
Seen bad titties yet. All her girlfriends probably had 19-year-old titties.
Dude, I didn't know she was 19 when we met until she was 20 because I was like, well, let's go out for your birthday. And she was like, okay. And so like, we went to a bar. And I was like, 22 right here, 22. Because, like, she's been getting into bars since I've known her.
Oh, so you think she's 21.
And her ID said 21. And so I'm like, 22. And the bouncer's like, 22? The fuck you talking? Because the ID was different. I was like, oh, how old are you? She's like, shit, it's a fake. I'm like, what are we doing here? What are...
But who's ever expecting anyone's ID, though?
This is months later. Right, months into knowing this person, seeing her at comedy shows, bars, all the time. And so she was like, oh, I'm 20 now. I'm like, oh, so you're 21 now. She goes, no, 20. I just turned 20 today.
Oh.
And I go, so you were 19? I was like, well, hey, Josh, that's kind of cool. But also, I kind of wish I knew, you know? I was kind of impressed with myself for a second. You know, I was like, am I that guy? I think I might be that guy. I could do that. You know what I mean? I don't know. I don't have a lot of faith in myself with women. Like, I feel like throughout my lineage, I've definitely batted out of my league constantly. Like, I feel like I don't get enough credit for that in a way. Where
well, who knows about?
Because people shit up. Well, exactly. Because I'm not out there, like, brandishing it. But people shit on me all the time, you know, like they're like as if I don't know that I'm weird looking.
All right,
or
so
gross.
Let me ask you this. What do you say out of my league? What's your league? What do you
I don't know, but I know that I know that I'm unattractive is my point. Like I know that
well,
these
everyone's
women,
attractive in their own way. Everybody
right, well,
is.
Thanks, Sesame Somebody, Street, but
they are.
I know that the fucking difference here. Listen, like I've got
a blind lady right now
look
don't
at
know
my
shit
fucking
about you, bro.
Dog.
Georgie Animal Steel just
I
walked
take
in this
shit room. Off and I'm mounting you.
Captain
you gotta
Kingman.
Have something going on up there. You know what I'm saying? Like
listen to me. You're doing jerk off foot porn right now.
I know.
Okay.
I'm very
There's
lucrative.
Something for everybody. Okay, so while you may not be everybody's flavor, there's a fucking section of this fucking rock in outer space right now that
Dude,
loves that shit.
And I get
loves
it, but the
it.
Fact that I've found like five or six dimes that are willing to do that is wild.
That's what I'm
and
saying.
Like, that's why I feel when people shit on me, I'm just like, dude, don't you think I know that I'm gross and shouldn't get laid ever? Like, I know that, but have a little fucking respect. Like, give me a Jeter tip of the cap at least. You know what I'm saying? Like, can I get a fucking, you know? I mean, shit. Throw me a little fucking credit. That's all
so
I ask of the other dudes out there.
Were these four that were out of your league, you
Hell
say?
Yeah. Oh, I mean, my girlfriends, you're talking about like
were,
my long-term
Were they girlfriends? Were they one-night stands? And why didn't you lock
there
them
There
were down?
Four. I've had four relationships, and this one was my fourth. The one I was just speaking about with the younger girl. And that was really what it was. She was just so young. I just was like, I can't keep this going. But you know what's kind of fucked up? I just remembered this part of that story. This makes me look worse. I guess I'm going to share it anyhow.
Feel free.
So my roommate at the time, the way that I met my one girlfriend, the girlfriend I was just talking about, was through my roommate also. Like she helped was the catalyst. I knew her before, but then I moved in with this girl who had a platonic thing, friendship, and she was friends with her. So it like helped. She was coming over more. Mm-hmm. It helped us realize maybe we could see each other. And then I was like, you're how old? But my roommate was consoling her while I was at work. And then
about
she,
the titties?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And while she was like crying in her arms, my roommate started scouring my phone and went through texts and stuff. And I had some things that made me look did in you, a poor light.
Did you not lock your phone?
Well, she knew the code, this girl.
Oh.
That's how she got in. I did lock my phone. I know a lot better now about these things. You know, you learn things.
The hard way.
The hard way.
Yeah.
But I know a lot. Yeah. Now I got a fucking.
So she went through and had to then fess up.
You
got to
have like a fucking face recognition shit to get on my fucking shit. Not, you know? So yeah. So my roommate is scouring my phone, goes through text messages forever and gains blackmail on me. She goes, I won't tell her about
shit.
These things. If you pay my half of the rent next month.
How much was that?
It was only $300.
That's worth every penny. No need to hurt this girl.
I paid it. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. I paid it. I was so mad at her, though. I was like, aren't we friends? You know, I played that card. I was like, I thought our friendship would mean that you could hold those secrets.
So now I'll tell you what. You pay my rent next month, and I won't tell your friend you just did that.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
you keep
that's what I said. I was like, someday the coin will turn mm-hmm. and then I'll be like, hey, guess what she did to you. So but anyhow, that never came. I think she ended up giving me like a bunch of mushrooms as like I'm sorry.
And
so
like, we're
cool.
Good.
Yeah, I was like, that's cool. And we're still friends, actually, me and that girl. I don't talk to my girlfriend though, my ex-girlfriend.
What's the biggest swing and miss you've ever had?
Oh dude I am you know Wayne Gretzky? Do you know who he is?
Yeah, I know who Wayne Gretzky is.
What is his famous saying?
Well, saying, you miss all the shots you don't take.
Exactly, dog.
You're just up there swinging like
Dude,
a monster.
I shoot my shot always. I feel like, Josh, you're going to die someday. Shoot your shot with this. You never know what she's going to say. What, you're going to say no? She's not going to make you feel worse than you feel about yourself. They can't hurt me.
They can't hurt me. You're
they can't, dude. They can't hurt me. It's weird. It's a weird thing because they used to hurt me a lot, like in high school and stuff. Like when a girl would reject me, I would be like, but why? I'm so nice. You know, like that kind of bullshit. And then I realized, like, they don't like that at all. Nothing makes them drier than that fucking guy. You know? So I mean,
how many? Okay.
So like, I could be accused at times of being an asshole or maybe like a callous jerk, maybe a little bit, like in terms of when I'm with a girl. or like I think it's more, I think aloof is a little bit more of a romantic way to say it, but I feel like women made me that way.
Women made you
that's
like
an incel talk, I think, but
yeah, I was gonna say women did not make you
no, I just grew up, that's all.
Well, let me ask you, going back to high school, did you swing a bunch in high school too?
No, that's
or
the thing.
That's when you started?
No, I didn't start until I was like 25. This new philosophy.
You had been shot down a bunch, and you were like, "Fuck it, I'm ready."
Well,
now.
I was the opposite was, I wasn't shooting my shot at all, and then when I would, it wouldn't work out, and it would crush me. It was more like, I'm like, well, we need to put up numbers. You know,
what was your response to that?
Being hurt.
Yeah, I mean, what would you do? Would you go out and drink? What would you do?
I would definitely drink. I did a lot of pills. I would just remove myself. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I remember there was this girl that I wanted to like hang out with and date and stuff, and I brought her around like an apartment, and I just like got drunk and acted like an idiot. I was just like a bad drunk. It was college, you know what I mean? Like, I ended up making out with her, and then I was like, well, let's go to my room, and she didn't want to. And so I was like, that's fine. So I went into my bedroom, super wasted, and passed out in my bed, like laid there. And she was like, I'm going to stay on the couch. I was like, that's fine. I never was like aggressive or anything with a girl when they never wanted to like hook up with me or anything. I just kind of like, all right, check, see ya. So I laid in my bed, and my roommate came in to like make sure I got to my bed. And I go, you're going to totally fuck her, dude. And he like started laughing. He's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, you're gonna fuck her. You're gonna fuck her. And he's like, you're nuts, man. You're drunk. Go to bed. And then like 2 months later, all my friends were like, hey, man, you got to come home and like we got to talk to you about something. And I was like, okay. I get home. I'm like, this is weird. They're like, Brent, tell him. And then he told me, he's like, remember that night I fucked her? And at the time, I'm just like, oh, like I thought my world was like melting down, but I really didn't even give a fuck about that girl. Turns, you know what I mean? Like, it just hurt. And then I was like, just kind of like, I never tried ever, you know what I mean? And so I would just be like, why don't the girls like me? They're just going to reject me, blah, blah, blah. So I would just like sulk at parties or whatever. And then I got older. I was like, that's silly, you know? And then it's not going to make anything better being that way.
No, but
that's why I want to talk to these incel dudes. I want to be like, hey, there's a way to this. You know what I mean?
Everyone. Tell them you're going blind, goddamn it. You'll at least see some fucking titties. You know what I'm saying? Shit. Walk out of it. Save the world.
Some hand. Girls love therapy right now.
I remember one time a girlfriend I had in high school, she broke up with me. Oh, God. I was fucking devastated. Devastated. I would go to her house even when she wasn't there because I'd be hanging out there all the time.
Oh, stalker shit.
No. I would go in. Like, her parents would let me in, and I would just be downstairs playing Tecmo Bowl, crying and shit.
That's wild.
running wild with Lawrence Taylor and Bo Jackson. Just like,
oh, man. See, if I was like,
I didn't have
this brain doing that, and I'm sure maybe you think of this too, you're like using it as like a manipulation tactic. You're like in with her parents. They come home and like, Ryan's here. And you're like I'm just cleaning the dishes. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. I'm up here scrubbing the tub.
Yeah. Your mom needs some help. And I'm going to help her out. And you become the favorite of the mom.
We're about to do a fucking restoration of your kitchen. I'm going to be hanging out for the next 6 months.
It's like some cable guy shit where you just like infiltrate the family.
No, this was, I remember it happened, and then she's like, I want to talk to you, and I'm at her house that day, but I'm playing Tecmo Bowl downstairs, just devastated. Devastated.
But can't even get Bo Jackson to the end zone.
Oh, God damn. Bo's been tackled 3 times this quarter.
You know how hard that is?
But at least you got to that point. That's where you need to get. You know, you're like, oh, my God, what a fucking moron. But you need to be a moron and then look back on it and be like, oh, my God, I was a fucking idiot.
Yeah, and I see these guys that shoot their shot in an ignorant way where they, like, you know, they're just crass or whatever. You have to be polite about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You got to be polite about it. And that's why I always, like, people are like, aren't you worried? If a girl, like, wants to, like, put on Reddit all the DMs that we've had, it's like, it'll show that, A, she's complicit also, and, B, like, I'm never a jerk in these things. Do you know what I mean?
You mean in the responses back and forth?
Yeah, like, if a girl's like, it's not like, hey, what, like, if, say I, like, shot my shot with a girl, it could be a number of things you type into there. I don't, like, they're all.
But none of them are whatever, bitch.
Exactly.
You,
but
bitch.
I'm saying, like, when they say, no, I'm not
titties are ugly anyway.
Yeah, exactly. That's the difference. I don't know why that's a tactic. Like, you think you're going to hurt
them? I would be like,
now?
Look, I don't think this shit's going to work out, but appreciate you showing me those titties. Yeah, I'm just a titty fan. Well, I would like, watch, I'd look at titties anywhere.
I've had girls just be like, you know, that's sweet, but not something I'm interested in. And I'm just like, well, thanks for letting me know. You know, that's the end of it. You don't fucking, like you said, just be like, well, fuck you then. You know what
right,
I mean?
Yeah,
you stupid ass bitch. I don't even want to fuck you anyway. Who wants to fuck you? You know, they get crazy because they're so
keep going.
It's that,
and then that last one, one good coffee.
It's Then they come back. They're like, sorry about all that.
Yeah, listen, man, I was.
I mean, you get carried away, I suppose. I don't know. It's emotional, I guess, to get hurt, and I just, you know, relax. That's all.
So you did well in Buffalo on the radio,
right?
What was it like dating when you moved here to LA?
Well, it just stopped. Like. There was nothing, dude.
Were you still swinging out?
I didn't even have friends here when I moved here. So it was like, I was just showing up to bars alone. Like, I just want to get drunk and like, I, you know, watch a fucking football game or something. So it's like, who am I going to talk to? So I honestly, like, 2018 was maybe the most bleak year. I think I went on two dates from like, I did sign up for Bumble for a hot second. And I went on two dates.
Off of Bumble?
Yeah. And they were not good. Like, it's not that they were bad.
You go to dinner or drinks?
We went to drinks. Daytime drinks is always my call. You know?
Smart move.
I don't know why. Because then it doesn't, like, get crazy, but it's not night. You know, I don't know. So, it would just be mediocre. It wouldn't be, nothing would happen. There would be no connection. You'd just be like, all right, see you later. Glad I spent $50 for just now, you know, whatever the case may be. But, it took me, you know, starting to do the podcast. That made me start meeting some women more out here and doing shows more, you know, doing more shows.
I saw the
more
one
comics.
Video Tom showed me of the blonde girl that was that responded. She's
I haven't had sex with her yet.
I mean, she's beautiful. I mean, I'm not sure what league you're in, but that's a Derek
you know, that's
Jeter
the thing,
tip
like,
of the cap right there for you.
I wish I could, like, it's such a fucking misogyny thing to be like, see this girl, I used to fuck this girl. You know what I'm saying? But like at the same time, it's like, when people like demean me in a way that's like, of course no one's fucking him. It's like, well, come on, man. You got to check out my fucking stats a little bit.
Let me show you the back of my baseball card, man.
Yeah, dude. I had some good games. You know what I mean? Like, I made the top 10 a couple times on SportsCenter. Can I have that? You know? Just treat me like a guy. But, no, it's...
Do you remember the first date you went on in L.A.?
I do. It wasn't... Again, there was nothing eventful about it. It was... I do remember it was with a girl who wrote for The Ranch. And she found out I was a comedian. And she was, like, very, like... Obviously, she hasn't heard of me. So, it's like... She was like, oh, you're a comedian, you know? I was trying not to put that up. But at the time, I didn't have a job. And I'm like, I guess I mean, this is how I paid my rent last month. So, I'm a comedian. And, so she was just like, uh-huh, yeah. And then, like, I don't know, it was very cold, and I don't think she was impressed by what she was sitting across from. So she was like, all right, well, you're 5'5". I got to get the fuck out of here. You know what I mean? That's a thing on Tinder, too, and stuff. Your height. They height shame. Do you know that?
No, I've never been on a dating.
They are like, I've had women message me
they
and go like, so how tall are you? You should put that in your profile.
Say height shame.
Yeah, dude, they... If you're, because they're like, how tall are you? And you'd be like, I'm like, I'm 5'5", which is the truth. And they're like, oh, well, I don't really like talk to guys that are under like six, whatever. And, or I don't know what the threshold is. But then I've had women be like, you should really put that in your profile. You know, as like if they wasted time.
Right. Like,
I wouldn't have swiped if I saw how tall you were.
Yeah. Right.
Such, it's so fucked up. But it's like, whatever. I bet they get guys that are like, so your tits. What cup are those?
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? So let them have whatever they need to feel good about it, I guess. I don't know. So that's why I got off that shit, too. And this girl, when she met me, I don't think she was impressed by anything. so, which is fine. I get it. I had no context. I felt like I was doing an interview. I felt like I was like, so what's it like writing for that show? You know,
that's what I feel like online dating is, just a series of interviews.
Yeah, if you don't have a connection with somebody off the bat, I don't know how you can maintain conversation. I just don't have the bandwidth for something like that, you know, where I can just make benign conversation.
I'm good at small talk, but I fucking hate it. Like, I'm the partner. If I'm dating a girl or something, or, you know, we're somewhere out, and I'll be like, all right, I'll go small talk these motherfuckers. But the minute I give you the fucking nod, you come in and make up a reason that we got to get the fuck out of there.
But what's your, like, threshold? I mean, like, small talk isn't a date. That's not small talk anymore. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm small talk is like waiting for the bus or like the elevator. I can do that shit all day. This is like an hour. I'm like sweating by the end of it. Like, did I get to all the questions? You know, like, I had an easier time interviewing Robert Paul Champagne than I did experiencing this date, coming up with conversation. Eventually, you're just drinking your drink. You're just like, yep.
5-5.
Thursday was cloudy, right? You know, like, I don't know. It's fucking...
Yeah, it does not seem to be the way for me. Let's take a quick break and tell you about our sponsor, MyBookie. At the end of a hard week, it's great to sit down, take some time off, and watch some football. Game-winning touchdowns on two-minute drives, running backs racing down the sidelines with no one to stop them, Lamar Jackson setting records. There is nothing else like the NFL, and there's no better way to make the games even more exciting than to bet on them. So do the smart thing and go to mybookie.ag. No one gives you more ways to win than they do. MyBookie's got the fastest payouts and better lines than any other sports book. Don't forget, where you're betting is just as important as who you're betting on, and mybookie.ag is the best in the business. It's where I play and where you should too. I wouldn't be telling you guys to bet with them if they weren't the best. Do the smart thing. If you're going to bet this football season, bet with MyBookie. If you're a kind of guy or girl that likes to bet a little and win a lot, try a parlay. If all your picks come through, you'll multiply your winnings, and no matter how you bet, the NFL season is the best time of the year. Join now, and MyBookie will double your first deposit. I know some of you already have. You guys hit me up, say you put a couple hundred down, and they matched it. Use your promo code HONEYDEW to activate the offer. That's promo code HONEYDEW. Visit MyBookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. Now let's get back to the Dew.
Yeah, so LA was like, and at the time I wasn't even like thinking about girls. I was like, well, girls like money and stuff, so you need some of that. And so like I didn't have any job at the, I needed to get a job, and I was like looking for a job. So I don't know what the word is, like scattered. Like I had no idea how to get a job. Never had to do that before. I was a busboy at my father's restaurant. And then I worked in radio for 15 years.
For real? That's it? That's your whole resume?
Whole resume. I was giving radio resumes to, like, Target as to be, like, a cashier. And I remember, like, I was leasing the Full Charges apartment for the first 2 months I lived here. And I was telling him, I'm like, man, I just don't know what to do. Like, I'm not getting hired at any of these places. He's like, well, where are you applying? I'm like, well, I applied at Lids.
Lids.
I applied at Target. I applied at like In-N-Out.
He goes, for 15 years.
Yeah, he goes,
but you could.
I know. That's what I said. I was like,
I would have looked at him and be like, this guy stayed for 15 fucking years.
Like,
he's going to
be
working Sunday.
Honored
shifts.
To have me. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. I would have put you on weekends right away if I was a manager.
I would have been. Yeah.
You needed it.
Hell yeah, dude. Mm-hmm. So, like, well, what he said to me, he goes, you're aiming too low. Like, they know you will leave the second you find anything else. He's like, just aim slightly higher. And I was like, huh, okay. So I went to like a job fair.
Did you not go to radio stations?
Dude, it's a fruitless endeavor. If I got a job at a radio station, they were going to pay me horse shit.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't even want to fuck with that. And to be honest with you, I did apply.
You did?
Yeah, at one point. But I applied at my old company, and then I was like, well, I don't think they're going to have me. And it wouldn't have been able to pay the bill. I would have had to get like a second job. It wouldn't have been... I mean, while you're drowning, you just throw everything out to try and fucking grab onto anything, you know? And so I went to a job fair, though, and I just sat at every table and, like, interviewed. I didn't know there were interviews or what,
like,
but it was
dating.
Like a conversation. It was like speed dating, exactly. And I went home, and I got a phone call from one of them the next day. And it was like, we want to have you be a representative number one level at... UCB America. It's a part of RRS solution, like naming all these things. I'm like, cool, yeah, sure. I'd love to do that. And they're like, well, great, you'll start February 28th. It's this much money, blah, blah, blah. We'll email you the package, yada, yada, yada. Just sign it and send it back. I was like, great. I don't remember what the fuck this company is when I'm getting this.
Oh, because you had
because I was I sat at everything. I didn't retain any of it. I walked out of there going like, well, that was a waste of time. You know what I mean? I didn't think any of them were going to call me. I just was like shooting the shit. And I found out because the guy that hired me was the guy I talked to. So I recognized him when I went in. And I just shot the shit with this guy. Shot the shit?
Yeah, it worked. Shot the shit.
Yeah. It was past tense. Yeah. I just talked to this guy about like the Lakers for like 10 minutes. And then he got into it. He's like, well, here we use a lot of software. I don't know if you use a lot of software. And I'm like, oh, I've used software before, yeah. And like, that was it. And I was like, well, I'm certainly not getting that one. We just talked about like,
and this is the one
LeBron.
You got.
And that was the one that I got. And so I go in there on the 28th. Like, this money's decent. Like, I can do this. It's in the fucking one of the skyscrapers downtown, the Wells Fargo building.
Oh, I know that. Yeah.
And I'm on the 32nd floor. I walk in there. It's like, Jesus. Meanwhile, I still don't know what this place is. I'm wearing a tie and shit. So I'm like, well, they're going to tell me. They can't possibly think I know what this company does based off a job fair, you know? It took a week for me to go, like, I'm in a training session, and I go, oh, out loud, dude. That's what we do.
That's what we do.
Yeah. And they're like, huh? Like,
one of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
I swear, dude, it was a week. I'm in there all day just like writing down what they're saying. Like, okay, what is the point of this? Like, what is this? What's the game here, you know? And what it was it was a company that on behalf of, like, there were multiple departments and every department was beholden to like a clinic or a hospital.
Okay.
And on their behalf, we would call health insurance companies in order to get bills paid by the health insurance companies to argue it on behalf of the hospital.
Right. Like, and then, lower this or pay.
Yeah,
it
and then
or...
me and the representative for the health insurance company would get to the bottom of what was going on and we'd decide who's liable for it and if it's the patient that's liable. So it could go different ways. So my job was to argue with the health insurance companies and present my case as to why the health insurance company should pay for this bill, not the hospital. So you had to know medical codes, a lot of stuff that I did not know. You know why I got the job? I knew what Excel was.
You were good at Excel?
I did Excel. And they were like, well,
you excelled at Excel?
I didn't excel at it either. I just knew what it was. I was like, yeah, I've done charts and stuff on there. Nadav knows. I don't know how to fucking do anything. You know? I'm like, Nadav, what's a Google Doc? No, I... So, like... I just knew how, like, because I worked with audio software, and that was on my, I was proficient in, like, these various softwares for audio editing, and he took that as, well, that's half the battle. We can teach him the other stuff.
Right.
And they tried to.
No.
Didn't work, dude. Dude. So, like, once I learned how to do it, and I'm working there, I'm going into this office, it kind of felt cool. Like, I felt like I was living a different life, you know what I mean? Like, I was living, like, a secret life.
You're wearing a suit every day?
Not a suit, just a tie and a shirt. And I'm in an office building. They don't know anything about my comedy or anything. Like, I don't talk about that shit. I'm just, like, this guy, you know? And it felt kind of neat at first, you know? Like, I could just tell them whatever I want about me. They don't know anything. None of these people know. I could die. They wouldn't know. I'd be gone for a week before they found. You know what I'm saying? That kind of shit. So
remember that guy that didn't know what we did?
Yeah, he fucking died, man.
Yeah. Who? The guy that didn't know what we did here? Remember, he realized after a week he's dead.
Like, he died? Some of these people went to, like, college for medical coding and shit. It's wild that they thought I could do this job. So I was very bad at it. And, like, so they thought it was, like, on the training. So they started doing, there were a couple other people that they brought on board, too, because they're doing this job fair shit. They bring in all kinds of people. So there were a couple other people shitty at it too. So I knew I had to just be slightly better than some of the other people. So then I just did my whole thing where I game the system to look like, I could have probably tried harder to learn it, but I was like, well, I just need to be this good to keep being employed, as long as I'm not the worst, you know? And I don't want to do this anyway. I don't want to learn about this shit. I want to be a comedian. So I figured that out and stayed there for about 6 months. And then this whole thing came about. And so I was like, thank God. And I left probably way earlier than I should have left, but I was like, I can't do this anymore. Like, it was getting to the point where it was a race between if I could get out of there and if they were going to fire me, because I was so bad, dude. I was having like audits.
Jump before you're pushed.
Dude, we were having meetings.
You were having audits.
Like where they would go over my performance and they would say, they have to be so nice to you in these corporate environments too. And I think they kind of felt bad for me. And they were like sitting me down like, well, 10 points is the threshold where then you can just keep working and we don't do audits anymore. 7 points is where we'll still do audits, but they'll be once a month. 5 points is where you're in a little bit of trouble. You got a 2.
I was going to guess 2. You got a 2?
Yeah.
20%.
So then they like went over my cases. And dude, I don't even remember what I was doing even in 2. That. They were telling me stuff. They were like, in this situation, like they're going over a situation that I totally fucked up. And they're like, in this situation, you billed the patient. You should have received 100% of them. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
right,
kind
right.
of things. And they were telling me processes and reasons that I don't even, it might as well be French. And I walk out of there, I'm just trying to improve, you know, I'm trying to give them one of those speeches. Like, you know, I'm just, I'm working really hard out there, just trying to get better every day. You know, my old, if you're slot receiver.
Yeah, I was about to say, you know, like, sports.
Yeah, you drop
speak.
A couple of passes in the end zone and you got the whole city up your ass. You're just like, well, you know, every day I'm trying to get out there, get a little better.
The whole city.
Yeah.
It's true, though. These motherfuckers drop a ball in the end zone and the city turns
What do you
off.
Say? Yeah, you're like, it's going to be really tough to get groceries Monday.
Yeah, I'm sending people out. I'm ordering in now. Amazon yeah. Prime.
A lot of Postmates coming to me this week.
Yeah. Postmates and Uber Eats. And hilarious.
So, yeah, I'm just telling them that whole speech, and then I go back, and I'm just like, oh, I got to get through another couple of weeks of this. You know, I got to hopefully.
How long were you there at this point?
I around 4 months is where it started getting touchy.
Okay, that's pretty simple. Because
it wasn't getting any better.
After the 90 days,
that's the
you
whole
got the
thing.
Job.
That's what I knew.
You staff now? With
dude,
them.
I was like, man, I got stock options and shit.
I'm taking off next week.
Yeah, I did a lot of that. And then I would be like, I'm sick, you know, that whole thing. Calling in sick like every week at least once. I remember them calling me and they go,
and getting paid for it.
Yeah, I remember them calling me in and being like, you used all of your sick and vacation time in 2 weeks.
Did you really? In 2 weeks? That's the
well, no, like it was 2 weeks worth, and like I used it in like I guess it would be like I used 2 weeks in like 4 weeks, I'm sorry. In a month. And yeah, it wasn't all like I didn't like apply for it either. I just was like, I'm not coming.
I'm gonna give you my 2 weeks notice right
now.
Yeah. Just using all my
dude,
weeks.
I fucking hated going. I would wake up in the morning and just dread it, you know? And it would be like I knew, but there was also this feeling like I knew it wasn't permanent, and I was like, just enjoy it. You know what I mean? Like, you're going to this office, you know, like, try and make, it was fun to make, like, the other people laugh. They don't know that I'm a comedian.
Right.
So it was fun to just be, like, the funny guy in the thing again, you know? Not, like, expected to be funny. You're just, you know, people like having you around kind of thing. That was nice. People were, like, very cool, like, meeting not regular people. I don't mean that insultingly, but you know what I mean? Like, we see
people outside of comedy.
Yeah, we see comedians and celebrities in this kind of thing all the time, and it's like these people are just people that work there, you know, they lived wherever and they work there and
put 4 years in at a college.
Yeah.
Bust their ass.
That's
they
fun.
Really
I love
know
people.
Excel.
Yeah, they really know medical codes. I would tell too, I'd be like, can you help me with
this? What's prescription?
And this one girl, I finally confessed as I was quitting. I quit the weekend I had like a weekend at the Brea Improv with Tom, and I was like, well, that's a check, so I'll just quit before that because then I can just live off that check. A feature check, by the way. So yeah, I was like, that's how like I didn't care. So I told the one girl that was really nice to me the whole time. I go, by the way, I like don't mean to be like a sound like a sketchball here, but like I'm a stand up comedian. I was just kind of doing this because I like didn't have a lot of work the last few months and I needed a job to live out here. I'm doing a show in Brea if you want to come or whatever. And she was like, oh man, that's so cool. And she did. And it was,
really?
Yeah, it was fun. Like, I stayed in touch with her after. So
how long did you make it?
I quit after 6 months, almost on the nose. Right, yeah.
You did quit.
Yeah, I did quit. I didn't get fired. Yeah.
Good for Miracle. You, man. Way to control the situation.
It felt good to like know I can get a job.
So what did you do for work after that?
I worked here.
Oh, so you came right to your mom's.
Well, it took a few months, but I did some road work and then came here. Yeah.
So right now your job resume goes busboy.
Yep.
Radio.
Yep.
Whatever the fuck this was. And your mom's house?
Hell yeah, like, dude.
With comedian in there too. Five fucking places.
Yep.
Jesus Christ, man. I worked five jobs in the seventh grade.
I know, right? Like, I've never been fired from a job.
You didn't have a paper route. You didn't.
I was a busboy at 14. I was working in my dad's restaurants, like 13, 14.
Shovel snow? You didn't go shovel snow in the winter up in Buffalo?
I mean, no. I was too small to do that shit, dude. They would be like,
you're going to shovel your fucking Volkswagen, dude. Just get out there and shovel.
This is kind of a. I'm going to sound like a dick. I used to game that system too. Like, my dad would be like, you know, he'd try to like do the whole do chores bullshit, you know? And then I would just be bad at it. And he'd be like, fuck, I'm not going to have him do it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'd mow the lawn and be like, I don't know. Like, this.
I thought you wanted it in an X.
Yeah, you didn't like. I'm just trying to do it. And my dad would be like, oh, fuck. I'll just fucking do it. You know? That was always my thing. I feel like an asshole saying that out loud. I don't like giving my secret out.
Self-sabotage. But if it was something.
Yeah, like, I'm lucky where with radio, I only did it in radio when they would try and throw too much shit my way, you know? Mm-hmm. But for the most part, I was passionate about radio and I liked doing it and I cared about it. So I would try hard at it. It's what I was wanting to do. And comedy, the same way. And this, I think, applies to both of those. So it's like.
Yeah, it definitely does.
Yeah. So, I mean, I've only ever taken
radio and comedy and look where you are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
You did the right thing by your, you're extensive. It's a lot to pick from. It's good. You married half your fucking jobs.
Yeah, I put the two together. I mean, radio and comedy went together too. It was kind
of
like,
of course,
one rubs the other one's back.
This is radio comedy, yeah, right here.
Of course. So, but they definitely go together hand in hand. So, yeah, man. I mean, I don't know. Moving here was wild. It was like, I was doing that job. I felt like I was in falling down a lot of days, you know, like Michael Douglas, because I would be like I'd look like a nerd on the subway.
I was going to ask you if you ever did a short sleeve dress
all the time.
With a tie.
All the
time. I was going to ask you that.
Because it was hot. I'd ride the subway to work and it'd be so fucking hot on the subway every morning. And some fucking homeless guy would give you an attitude and shit, like, and just be like a dick to you. And you're like, I don't want to be here, man. You know what I mean? And that's when I grew that mustache because I looked insane. And I was like, this is how I'm going to avoid that. Like, people aren't going to fuck with me then. And I remember a homeless guy being like, I don't fuck with white boys like that.
He said that?
Yeah. Said that to his friend, to his buddy.
Pass that around the camp.
That's right. You tell everybody.
I don't fuck with white boys like that just because you had a mustache like that.
Because I looked
like
weird. Yeah. Like, I just had the glasses with the dead eyes and shit. Like,
when the homeless don't want to fuck with you.
It's empowering.
Oh, that is empowering, man.
It's like some real, yeah.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
I'm trying to find my bottle opener. Yeah, moving here has been wild. And I did feel like a creature of the night, so to speak, you know, and like just a weird. I left everybody that I know, you know what I mean? So I didn't really know anybody when I moved here. And I didn't have any friends or anything. I meet people at mics and, you know, you meet comics too, you know. I mean, I wasn't calling Tom and being like, hey, man, come over. You know what I'm saying? Like, what am I going to do? So it was like I had to like just find my way. And that was it. Thankfully, I didn't have to work at that job very long because I wouldn't have been, you know.
Did they pay you out?
A little bit.
I mean, you're staff. You get a little bit of pay, but you did burn all your days.
Yeah, I did burn. I burned all my days, so I didn't get that pay. They did tell me that too. They made sure to let me know that. They're like, yeah. I mean, if you would have
10 days.
I mean, you only worked
here
6 months. You know, usually people leave here with like a pretty sizable extra check because they don't use their vacation time. But you, I mean, I'm like, yeah, them's the breaks, I suppose. But I got like, because I left on like in the middle of a pay week, they just cut me one right there, and they're like, bye. And because of all the HIPAA and shit, like, they had to, like, escort me out of the building and stuff. Yeah. You can't, like, have your cell phone out there or anything.
Oh, really?
Fucking brutal. Yeah, I mean, because, like, they don't want you to be, like, you could secretly be recording stuff. It's people's medical information you're talking about, which was taking photos, for me to be doing. This is the people that are, these are the people, folks, that are controlling whether or not you have to pay a bill or not.
I wanted to talk to you about that.
Dude, I sent so many letters to people.
I would never bill the person.
I didn't want to, but sometimes you have to. And I would, thankfully, I would fuck up the paperwork, so I would add red tape to it, and then they would probably get off with it, too. I remember I sent out a bill to some to a health insurance company. I tried to make them pay $1.05, and the my boss
$1.05.
Yeah, my boss called me into his office and he goes, "Do you know you spent more on postage to get that $1.05?" I'm like, "I'm just doing what I thought I had to do when that thing comes down the pipe, you know?"
Yeah,
I just did the thing I had to do. I didn't think about the how much money. He's like, "Yeah, like a stamp costs this, an envelope, the printer that you, the printing paper." He's like, it all, that's, why would you do that? He's like, just send that to fucking, whatever, adjustments, or I don't even remember the words that they had, dude. I'm so, I tried to think about it the other day, like, I'll have nightmares where I walk into that job again.
Really?
With my brain right now. Where I'm like.
What brain, what other brain do you
where I go,
have?
Where I walk in there,
the
where I go like.
That you put in there?
I go, oh my God, I wish I could go to the studio, but I have to go here.
So you're then, in the middle of a nightmare, and it's walking into that place.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm in my tie and shit, and I'm like. My hair's all crazy, and I go up the elevator, and I go and I sit at my desk, and I don't even remember like my
is it does it
login.
Look the same? It
looks exactly the same, and I don't remember the persons are all the people are next to me. I don't remember
are they the
my,
same people or
yeah yeah. They're like, "What's up, Josh? Like, gonna go to happy hour later?" Or something, you know, like that kind of shit. And I'm just like, "Uh huh," and I'm trying to remember my login, and like I get locked out, and then I have to call IT and be like, "I got locked out." This is all in a dream I just recently had. And the IT people come in, they let me in, so I get in. And then I don't remember literally anything about the job. So I'm just like clicking.
What about Excel?
I'm clicking on it. I bring up the Excel doc. Because you basically have Excel docs up all the time. So like I had two up and I'm just like, uh-huh. I'm pretending I'm just like looking at my day's work while I'm trying to tap an icon, you know, like clicking around being like, oh yeah, then I do this. And then I pretend I'm on the phone while I'm like reading my
old
training notes.
That's so detailed.
Dude, I just had it like a couple days ago.
This is like a karma for all the days you took off. They're getting it back now, aren't they?
They're coming. They're causing me sleepless nights. But yeah, so then I wake up.
It's crazy vivid like
that. Yeah, no, it was because it's a stress.
Do you take a lunch break?
At that job I did, yeah. It was a half
hour. But I mean, in your dream, do you go
that far? Oh, no, it's not long.
How's it end?
It just, I wake up all of a sudden like I break from it. Yeah, this time I just all of a sudden woke up, yeah.
I had that dream. I've said this before, but I've had that dream about college. I don't know, a good dream? No. A good amount of time after it. It probably stopped, I don't know, maybe 10 years ago. But I had it for, 10, 15 years where I would be dreaming that I forgot this one class and I needed to get my credit and I would hustle there and it would be like English and they'd be using like protractors and shit. I'm like, what the fuck's going on? Like, I'll never be able to get caught up. And then I would wake up.
Do you want to know what's hilarious is like, I felt kind of calm when you were telling me that. Cause that was like my real college. I was working in radio and I remember I signed up for a class. And I literally went to it once and I was like, well, I'm not coming back here again. Did I drop the class or anything? No. I paid for it up front. So I just.
Oh, and you just let it go?
I was like, I don't give a shit.
Yeah, they got their money.
Yeah.
But did you ever go back? Did you ever remember?
That was when I was trying to like go back to college. Like I left the private school that I was at. I dropped out of there and I signed up for like state school classes where I could just pay for them up front. So I could try and get those credits to graduate. And I paid for them, and I went to two of them, and I was like, I don't know, give a fuck about this. And I just dropped out again. So I just was like, I don't want to be here. I remember every class in college, though, being that stressful. Like you just said, where you're just like, God, we're doing math right now? And they're like, yeah, this is math 101 or whatever. And I'm like, oh, okay.
That was my weakest subject.
Me too. I don't even know what math.
I got away with taking statistics only in college.
Isn't that hard?
Yeah, it was fucking hard.
You shouldn't say got away with then.
Meaning I only had to take one class throughout my entire college career of math.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to be like I would have been like, I got away with adding.
I thought I'd have to do one every year or something. I thought it was going to be required.
Have to do one in college.
Oh, thank fucking God, man.
Yeah, no, I had to do that too for a communications degree, right?
Yeah. Well, I have a Bachelor of Science because when I first started, I wanted to do psychology. Then I switched to physical therapy, and I took like human anatomy and physiology, shit like that. Then I realized, fuck this. This is deep, you know. I enjoyed it, but it was.
Yeah.
And I was like, why don't I just go do what I like? And that was ended up being communication. Mass comm, they call it.
Mass comm, yeah. That's what I had a mass comm with a concentration in broadcasting, which I worked in. I just was like, well, this will be easy. That's what I thought at the time, which was stupid. They shouldn't let 18-year-olds or 17-year-olds pick that shit. You know?
No, you don't know what the fuck you want to do.
I was like, I'm already doing this. This is what I want to do. Yeah. Why wouldn't I get a degree in it?
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
To help that out when I should have like diversified myself or whatever. You know, got a business degree.
Yeah, I'd have
so
friends.
So I'm not fucking sitting here with credit card debt like an idiot going, right. I thought it was good that I did this.
I have friends who are like, we're in this sex class over there where they actually I was like, what? I didn't know about that. Class. Like, I wish somebody would have helped me more and told me more about what was available.
Weren't you jealous
curriculum?
Of the kids in college that just knew what was up?
Yeah.
It seems like they just knew what they were doing. Like, some kids really thrived in college. I was not that.
I was friends with a lot of Jewish dudes, and they would be like, we always get the Jewish professor because every holiday they take off. And I was like, that's fucking smart.
I always went
for the Bergs and the Steens and everything, and I got them, and they were like, the first thing that professor would say when they start, yes, I'm Jewish, no, I don't take the holidays off, I'd be like, God damn it. Every fucking time. I struck out every time doing that.
I went to a Jesuit college. There were no Jewish professors there. We had to take a religion class every fucking semester too, which was wild.
What was your school?
Canisius College.
Canisius?
Yeah.
Where is that?
It's in Buffalo. It's a small Jesuit school.
Is it?
That robs people blind. Never go there. I hate them. I do, though.
Did you get your 4-year degree?
Uh-uh.
No.
That's my fault. I mean, I don't blame them for that part. But, I mean, just the amount of money.
They didn't make you this way?
No. It's not their fault that I didn't graduate. It's their fault that they charge so much money for a communications degree that's obsolete, though. I feel like they're oil barons just being like, yes.
I mean, when I started taking classes, so my college, I went from junior college to, I came here to Cal State Northridge, and I came when the earthquake had hit. And I remember being in a trailer, and they were teaching us Lotus, MS-DOS, like all this shit that was, I feel like that shit was gone in like 2 years.
Yeah.
And to be graded on that, like every technology jumped so fast.
They didn't
fast.
Know that was going to happen. Because I remember like even learning stupid software that was like in 2006, you know what I mean? Like I learned Photoshop and all that shit, and it's like wildly different now, you know? Like iMovie and stuff. Like, yeah, you learn. We had a class on iMovie. Is iMovie a fucking viable option for editing video now? I don't, you know.
No.
Premier, yeah, so
Premier.
It's like,
Premier.
Glad I learned how to do that, you know? But, I don't remember why we were talking about software. Maybe Excel.
Because your Excel spreadsheet, your nightmare.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, God. And that's why, you were saying about how
so they're still going, though. That nightmare for you is you just have one.
I just
recently,
had one, yeah. But I wake up so relieved.
Oh, dude, me too. I wake up like, fuck yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah,
exactly.
Fuck yeah. I'm panicking, like, yes.
You're just like, oh.
I did graduate.
Oh.
I got that diploma in my closet.
The night that I got to do that show at the Improv Lab, my buddy came to town to like hang out with me that weekend. And that day I was like, we're going to go have lunch. Where I used to have lunch at that stupid fucking office job. And so I did. I went over there. I looked at it. I was like, I'm so fucking glad I don't have to walk in there right now. Yeah, that felt good. But yeah, I remembered another girl story. Because you had asked me like when that moment happened, and I didn't quite. I just feel like I grew up and matured, but this girl definitely like flipped the switch a little bit. And it was a girl that I liked a lot, and I remember seeing her around, and like we'd be at the same like social functions and things. And I told my buddy, I was like, man, I was like, I have such a crush on this girl. And he was like, everyone does, dude, you know, like, because she was gorgeous and cool and seemingly. And so I started like, you know, shooting my shot like old Josh does. And I, you know, she was like, she was kind of the thing. She liked me, but she wasn't never going to date me kind of situation. Like, and I didn't see that. I'm like, well, if I can just break her down, maybe, you know, I'll just show her. Like, I still had some of that in me where I was like, maybe I can rise above this, you know. And I was doing all right in radio. I wasn't making a lot of money, but I was doing all right in terms of access and like stuff like that. And that's always cool to flex with a girl, you know, that helps a lot when you look this way. And I had movie premiere tickets in New York City with a hotel room, two flights for like, remember what was that shit like with Liam Neeson where he was like a god? He was like a fucking Greek god. No, it was like a 3D dog shit movie. I don't remember the movie at all because it was 3D and I can't see in 3D. And so I literally... Dude, I literally sat there and just got a headache for an hour and a half. But I mean, dude, Liam Neeson's two rows behind me. What great stuff, man. You know, like, I didn't know anything was going on.
He probably thought you could see it way better. Well, you're, yeah, he like, probably sees that shit in 40. He knows what he's talking about.
It was like Revenge of the Gods or some horseshit. Whatever that. It was like a sequel.
Oh,
so
man.
I mean, it was red carpet, all that crap. Liam Neeson stood up at the end, and everyone clapped. And I had the glass. I just pretended like I was watching it. And so I flew. But anyway,
you
I
had the
asked,
glasses over those glasses.
I did. That's ridiculous. I did. That's when I actually figured out. I go, oh, you're not going to see these movies ever. Not even a little bit.
Oh,
it was just
shit.
I had such a headache. But I forgot to reference the fact. You know, I took this girl with me. I asked her. I'm like, listen, I'm going to this movie premiere, red carpet, blah, blah, blah. It's 48 hours, New York City, Manhattan, you know. Do you want to go? This implicates the fact that, like, now we had been hanging out, you know, as friends and stuff, like, but just one-on-one, like, a lot. And now this, like, I'm thinking I'm going to thrust this beyond friend zone and really put it out there that I'm interested by inviting her to like share a hotel room with me, essentially, you know, and go on a trip with me. It's, you know, and so she never like said one way or another, like that it was platonic or anything, but she kind of did keep me at arm's length. And so I went on this trip with her. We shared a bed, but I didn't make any moves. And that was it. Like the next day we just like went about our lives and we kept hanging out more and more. I'm like, for sure, there's going to be a connection at some point where I like,
well, did you feel it?
I felt so much of it, dude. And that's the most fucked up part about it. It's like I was head over heels for whatever reason. And then I remember like one day seeing her at a bar that we all went to and hung out at right by my apartment with that friend of mine that I told you about.
It bang the other girl?
No. Oh. The one that I told you about that was like, yeah, of course, man. We all have a crush on her. Like I told, like that I was talking about. And they were like canoodling. And I was like, what's going on there? And then I found out they were like hooking up the whole time. And so I was like, oh, and immediately something changed in me where I stopped caring about, like I had a drunken shouting match with her about it for some reason. And like, she just was like, I never liked you. And I was like, and then that's tough to like hear, you know what I mean? And like, I didn't say anything I regret after that. Like I wasn't like, fuck you. Like I wasn't like an incel about it, but it hurt and it hurt like for a while. And then I remember coming out of that. And like since then, I've really not felt that way about a girl. And like I've been with women who are like very pleasant, so nice. Like I should like them. You know what I mean? Like everything about them, this is going great. I should like you, yada, yada, yada. I've had girlfriends too where it just, I'm just like, I don't. And I don't know what it is. It's weird. But I grew such a hatred for that girl because then I saw she started dating that guy.
But you also grew a hatred for what she did, which is probably part of why you don't.
But it was weird. A part of me becoming woke to her made me realize, like, because what's ended up sucking for my buddy is he ended up dating
her.
Yeah. Yeah. He ended up dating her, and she was a real pill. and it like sucked his life away.
There you go.
Yeah. And yeah, so I was like excited. I was like kind of like not dancing on his grave, so to speak, but like I was like, oh, well then this would have been me if I would have.
Well, see,
I mean?
That's the other realization. Sometimes, like, you know, it is one of those, it's a good thing it didn't happen, but you don't find out till later why.
Yeah,
know?
Like, I felt great about the fact that it didn't happen to me, but I also hate and regret the fact that I let it affect me so much.
Right.
And I told myself, I'm like, I'm not going to let a girl affect me like that. For what? Like, because she would have turned out to be a nightmare. You know what I'm saying? Like, so I've just never let myself get affected that way again, which is probably bad, but
I don't know.
I think it's going great. I'm thriving. Yeah,
you feel very loving. I feel the love sitting next to you.
I feel awesome, dude.
You look great. Your fake hoodie.
I feel great, dude. I don't give a shit. I won't have another human connection, but like, whatever.
Well, whatever.
I got Heineken. But I definitely became more like, I didn't like put sex on a pedestal anymore, anything like that. You know, like, I like to be a makeout bandit still once in a while. That's fun, you know? That shit's all fun. And if I can do it, I feel like it's a real achievement, you know? Like, sure, a handsome guy, he goes out and makes out with a girl at a bar.
Big deal.
Good for you. Yeah, you had everything working for you. You know what I could do in a handsome man's vehicle? You give me a fucking... You put my brain...
I believe that.
...inside of a good-looking man with hair and,
I
like,
believe that.
I'd own show business.
Oh, dude. Well, I just want to thank you for coming on. I really
Thanks,
appreciate
man. Yeah,
it.
No,
and
I'm,
opening up.
I'm always right in there.
You're right there you all the time. Me. I really do appreciate it, dude.
No,
I love
for
you
having
to death.
Me, dude.
You're
I appreciate
fucking hilarious.
It so much.
Please, one more time, whatever you'd like to promote.
I'll be in Europe with Tom at the end of October, if this comes out by then. And then I'm going to be in my hometown of Buffalo, New York, November 6th at Helium Comedy Club. Tickets are on sale. And then I'm going to be at Ryan's hometown of Baltimore, Maryland at
the famous
baby. Yeah,
yeah.
So those tickets are on sale too. Yeah. Thanks for hooking that up.
Yeah, of course. I'm happy to do that.
I wouldn't have been able to probably book that if it wasn't for your relationship. So I appreciate that.
I'm going to send other comedians there too.
You should, dude. They've been really cool. Yeah.
Yeah. He's great.
I'm excited.
All right. Congrats, brother.
Thank you.
I am Ryan Sickler on all social media, ryansickler.com. Talk to y'all next week.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.